Saturday. It's November 25th, 2017. This is Spinola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. I hope that everyone had an enjoyable Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining me at republicbroadcasting.org. Please also visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and WoolliesBlog.blogspot.com and ScreeningSandyHook.net. During the program, email questions or comments to comment@spingola.email. Please visit the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. View our guest lineup at spingola.com. In addition to the links for each guest, I also have other interesting links relative to the guest and his or her subject. And today it's very important that you view these links. I have several links associated with our guest, and I hope that you will look at those links. We won't take calls until the second and third hour. My guest today for the first hour is Dr. Lori Handrahan. She is the author of Epidemic, America's Trade in Child Rape. Her website is Lori, and that's L-O-R-I, Handrahan, H-A-N-D-R-A-H-A-N. I think the child rape is so horrific that most people simply avoid talking or thinking about it because we do not want to acknowledge that such wickedness exists. Dr. Lori Handrahan has focused her research efforts on the military, law enforcement, the legal profession, and educators. She states, pedophiles have infiltrated government service and cultivated positions of power to protect their crimes and access children. Children are not being protected. Pedophiles are. Too many pedophiles are government employees. Pedophiles can and do easily provide cover to each other from various powerful positions they hold inside and outside of government. Pedophiles are extensive networkers. They brag about the crimes they commit. A police chief trading in child rape is very likely to know local judges, state legislators, teachers, and prosecutors also engaged in the crime. Pedophiles not only network online, they also meet in person to share children for rape. They know each other, and they protect each other. This is America's wake-up call. The child rape industry is no longer a Russian, Asian, or Eastern European problem. The illegal trade in child rape is an American problem. Far too many local, state, and federal government employees in sensitive positions. Oh, this is so tragic. When I was reading the book, it was just, I don't know how many times I shed tears over the crimes and the statistics that Dr. Lori was providing. But far too many local, state, and federal government employees in sensitive positions of trust within our communities and national security structures are involved, quote unquote. Dr. Lori, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, I hope that every single listener will purchase your book. And I really recommend the Kindle edition because that way you have live links. And mm-hmm. I looked at the sources as well. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't look at the sources. I look at the sources right. And the citations because I want to look at what you've looked at. And right. So it was just horrific. I don't know how you did this. I bless your heart for doing this. And for thinking about the children and for opening this up, for revealing what is going on. So where do you want to start?
Well, I think I'll just pick up on your comment about the Kindle version, and I'm really glad to hear that you like the live links. We It, you know, made extra work while we were writing, while my publisher was helping me prepare the manuscript and while I was writing it, because we had to prepare it both for a paper version and also for a Kindle version. So that meant making sure all the hyperlinks that you wouldn't see in the paper version but you would see in the Kindle version were accurate and were still alive, and the site hadn't been taken down or the news story hadn't been taken off. But I did think it was really important, because I was hoping that people would do, as you said, that they'd say, really, this can't be true. Was this really true? How did I not know about this arrest of this very prominent person? And then you could just click on the hyperlink and see the news story. So I'm glad that you found that helpful. The other thing in the book, a lot of people have been commenting about the extensive use of the footnotes and the references for each case that I profiled. And those are a fraction of actual the amount of references that went into the research, because for every arrest that I look at, sometimes there's no local media, because sometimes they'll be successful in covering it up. But typically there's anywhere between 5, you know, to 20 articles, depending on how much local media coverage happened. So really I could have referenced all 20 different articles for each arrest. And we didn't do that because there would have been just so many references. So for every arrest, I usually did one or two references at the most if another source had, you know, vastly different information than a different article. So the amount of references in the book are a fraction of the amount of work that went into the book.
Great. And the book is available at Amazon. People are asking in the chat room. Yes, it is available at Amazon. And I do have the paper book copy of it also, but I have to look at those links. And so I went ahead and got the Kindle.
Great. That's great. I'm really glad that you found that helpful. Thank you for sharing that. That makes me feel good about the work that we put into it. Thank you.
Yes. And there's so many links and so much information, so many resources. Nobody is going to say, oh, she's just making this up, or this couldn't be true.
Right.
But everything
that was the
is...
aim.
Yes.
Yeah, so very, very well documented. Well, I mean, as you know, because you've been following this issue, you know, quite closely yourself, you know, unfortunately, and now with the Harvey Weinstein and Me Too, and that this issue, larger issue, is starting to get some more mainstream exposure, you know, child rapists and predators, men who are predators, mostly men, although there are some women and increasingly more women, they don't want to go to jail. So it's in their interest to just lie and to also attack who's ever trying to expose them or the illegal industry, and to try to destroy them. So anybody who's tried to research this, there's often this false taint of it's just conspiracy. This can't really be happening in America. You know, it's all just a conspiracy. It's made up. It's fake. It's fake news, right? And so I wanted to really put my social science research degree to good work. I'm a trained social scientist at one of the top 50 research institutes in the world, so I know how to do good research. But I didn't want to write a social science book that would only be shared among a few academics. I wanted to write a book that everybody would pick up and say, this makes sense to me. Like, I didn't understand what this was about, but I can read this and I can use the resources that are in it. You know, so I hope it'll also be used for training and teaching in the classroom with law enforcement. I hope prosecutors will use it. You know, I hope that people do find it a useful reference. And the other thing with the references is that I never use non-mainstream media. So if you look through the endnotes and the footnotes, I never used people's blogs. I never used anything that wasn't, quote-unquote, a legitimate mainstream media source or direct court documents from the Department of Justice or the courts or the police records. So that also people couldn't say this isn't true. I mean, there's no way if you sit down and read this book that you can deny what's happening in our country, you know?
Right. And you did use all mainstream news outlets. And,
yep.
Oh, it was just mind-boggling. I read a little bit each day because it was very hard to take.
Yeah.
You had to give yourself a rest. And I just can't imagine how you did this. You are a very strong, courageous person.
Thank you. That's all I have to say.
I'm getting back to the Weinstein thing. I was thinking that with the publication of your book, which is just very recent, and also the publication of Trafficking, which I also purchased that book, that there would be, there's so much emphasis in the mainstream about these adults and these Hollywood people and others, politicians, that I wonder if that was, here I go being conspiratorial, I wonder if that was to take the focus off of what you were bringing out. Because I'm sure that there are thousands of people that did not want to see you publish this book.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I don't know if it's, I mean, I've been following, obviously, the whole Weinstein and Kevin Spacey and all the names that are breaking now, Charlie Rose and this hashtag MeToo. And then I've been excited and frustrated because so far a lot of the coverage that, that the media is really covering widely is adult the people, predators, preying on adults. And,
right.
And not to diminish what's happened to the women and men who have come forward, but, you know, when it's a two-year-old or a three-year-old child and they're being anally raped while they're handcuffed and drugged and tortured, I mean, and the horrible things that, that are being done to children, it's just a completely different level. So I've been hoping that the conversation would shift, and I've been hoping that some of the movie stars who have huge media platforms would start to say, and what about the children? Because anybody like Harvey Weinstein or Kevin Spacey, who did prey on children, as we know, these were boys that he, you know, tried to molest allegedly, have come forward. Predators are predators, and they're going to go after the most vulnerable people that they can and people that they have power over to commit the crime. So, in my opinion, a man who acts as a predator against adult men or women is going to do the same with children. So any of these people are very likely to also be doing child pornography. And that's probable cause if people want to search. I've seen search warrants be pulled in cases that I've looked at just because somebody reported strange behavior of somebody else. So it's enough to say this person was acting strangely around children. And if in that jurisdiction you happen to have a good police officer who's not doing child porn himself and a good prosecutor who's not doing child porn himself, you can get an investigation just on somebody saying this person was acting strange around children. So I think that there's a real link. It's a predatory behavior, and I'm hoping that one of these Hollywood stars will pick up the book and say, wow, we need to also look what's going on to the children, because children don't have a voice. They have no way to get out into the media. They're not able to do what some of these people can do to raise the issue.
Right. Exactly. You have covered the military, law enforcement, the legal profession, and educators.
Yeah.
And I was just amazed, and particularly special ed educators and others. And it was just mind-boggling to recognize, for instance, the military. I'm jumping around here. But the military, you give numbers of people who are in the military who are using government computers to download pornography, and the way that you talk about it, that you describe it, each child that they are viewing is a person, an individual that is being sadistically tortured, raped. This is a human being, a child, a defenseless, innocent child. How could anybody do this?
And that's I think that's what I really wanted to get across in the book, because when you read in the newspaper that a colonel in the military was arrested for 30,000 images of child pornography, that doesn't mean anything to most people because they don't know what child pornography is. And what the mainstream media has been very good at is that they will cover these arrests as one-off local news events. So it's kind of the crime beat person will say this guy got arrested, and they'll say he had 30,000 images. But that doesn't mean anything. And what I've been asking journalists to do, and I'll frequently contact a local journalist who has reported on a case that I'm looking at, and I'll say, would you please put the criminal complaint in your story? Put a link, a live link, so people can click onto the criminal complaint or the police record and see what this person was actually doing, because not all criminal complaints are of good quality. Some of them don't tell you very much. But again, if you have a really great cop, great investigator, you can have these incredible criminal complaints, which give very detailed knowledge of what this person was doing, down to what they were saying on the chat lines. You know, I tried to pull out these little text boxes around the book, and I profiled some of the stories in addition to writing about some of them. But if you go onto my Medium site, a Medium profile, I've just been posting these very long lists, which just profile arrest after arrest after arrest. And so people can actually start to see the patterns. So I think the challenge for me in writing the book was, and with my publisher and my agent tried for 4 years to get all the big publishers, Random House and everybody, to publish it. And they wouldn't do it because what we were told over and over again from the people that we pitched the book to was that it was too difficult for them to read, that they felt nauseous, that they felt sick, that it really affected them psychologically. They couldn't get through it, and they weren't going to publish a book like this because Americans wouldn't buy the book because it was just too horrific to read. And in the original sample chapters of the book that we were pitching to the big publishers, I would have these long lists. And so then the other constructive feedback we got was that these long lists didn't help, that they weren't just going to publish long lists. So the challenge for me was trying to get across the scope of what's going on without being able to publish long lists, because saying 30,000 images, that doesn't mean anything to anybody, or saying this many people. So that's what we came up with in the hyperlinks. You'll see each chapter links to, I have a whole list of military people up on Medium, far more than are profiled in the book. So if you are interested in that subject, then you can go on the Medium and you can look through all of the different cases. And then those are only a fraction of the arrests that are known. I mean, I can't, doing this without being paid as a volunteer on my own, there's no way I can document all of the arrests that are happening. So that's, I think, what's even more mind-boggling, that all I'm trying to give people is a small sample of the scope of what's really going on, what's happening out there. And these are all children. These are American children. So to circle back, you mentioned the military. I mean, these are children that are the sons and daughters of either the people who are abusing them, a lot of fathers are doing this to their own kids, or they're abusing children of family friends. And sometimes the friends know and sometimes they don't. But like there was a military case, and I profiled that in the book, and that was a case that AP did a really great year-long investigation into sex abuse, child sex abuse, and child abuse in the military. It was a brilliant, brilliant investigation. So that was one of the cases that the AP had pulled out that I also noted. And the guy was molesting and raping his friend's, I think it was a 3-year-old son, and the friend didn't know, right? So you think, oh, this is my best friend, and he's a great guy, and he loves children, and he's always there to babysit and help. And it's so nice that we have somebody that we can trust to help babysit our child, right? And then, you know. Anybody basically who is spending a lot of time trying to get near a child should be suspect.
Absolutely. All righty, we are going to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest the first hour today is Dr. Lori Hanrahan. She is the author of Epidemic, America's Trade in Child Rape. I implore you to buy a copy of that book at Amazon, and I suggest the Kindle version with live links. It will amaze you. Buy it as a gift for your friends. This is something that needs to be revealed. People need to know about this. They need to take action on it. And that's one thing that the Dr. Lori has included in the book are action items so that you can call somebody or you can email somebody. You can contact somebody and demand that some action be taken. So not only has she presented the problem, she's also presented some solutions. Okay, you were talking about the person that gets very close to your child and is always there and is trusted and everything, and they're not. And they target children, pre-verbal children, because pre-verbal children cannot tell what is happening to them, cannot verbalize it.
Right. Right. So that's what I tried to get, you know, very clear. That's one thing that almost nobody has been willing to talk about is the amount of infants and toddlers who are being raped. So you'll see a lot more in mainstream media, and I think there's much more of a general knowledge now than there was, say, 5 years ago, that teenagers are trafficked. And people will talk about the average age of a trafficked child being 10 or 12, and that's actually not true. I mean, under fours are considered platinum on the market because they can't be witnesses. So if you don't have a witness, you don't have a crime, you can't be prosecuted. So what I tried to get across in the book is that they're predators. These are very strategic decisions that these men make
to enable them to commit the crime with total impunity for years. So they target under fours, not because this is some sexual attraction. It's because those kids can't be witnesses in a court. And I have some quotes that I put into the book from various criminal complaints and other people's research where they say, you know, oh, well, my child's starting to get too many words now, you know, so I'm going to start abusing the younger baby my wife just had because I got to start early before she can talk too, right? So that's right. Also the thing with, yeah, and it's been a long learning curve for me. I've been researching this now for 7 years, you know, nonstop, day in and day out. So when I started to type in, I mean, every morning after I have my coffee and I do my morning meditation and prayers, I'm trying to start my day right, I always do a search in the search box on Twitter for two words, child porn and child sex abuse. Those are the key words that I look for. And I don't, sometimes I'll miss a day or two, but it's a pretty regular habit, like sort of flossing my teeth, so I can kind of understand the trend and see what's happening and who's being arrested. And so in the beginning, when I started to do this, I started to see, a lot of teachers being arrested. So then I would type into the search box, teacher, child porn, arrest. Often, if you add the word arrest in, then sometimes you don't get the whole story, though, because sometimes they'll say busted or, you know, they'll say sentenced. So sometimes that keyword doesn't help. But then when you start to look at teachers, you started to see, or I started to see, an enormous number of special education teachers. And that's up on my Medium, the one about special education. And there's a very, very long list, and it's a fraction of the total arrests, you know. And I was horrified. I mean, because I thought, you know, what human being, who would molest a child with Down syndrome? I mean, and you're a special education teacher, then, of course, it makes sense. If you're a pedophile, and if you're thinking like a pedophile, you want to molest a kid who can't be a witness in court, right? So a Down syndrome kid can't be a witness. So they love to go after disabled kids. You know, they love it. They're not credible witnesses. So I think it's just horrifying. Imagine you have an autistic son or daughter, and as a parent, you're already going through an enormous amount of difficulty trying to take care of your autistic son or daughter. And imagine you get this great special education teacher who you think is fabulous because he just loves your son or daughter, and you find out that he's been raping them, you know? It's just appalling. So, yeah, the amount of special education teachers is very disturbing. And then I had cited a UN report which said that it's now known that pedophiles try to adopt disabled children so they can have a permanent sex slave in their home, basically. So it's the same thing when I didn't put doctors in the book, but I do have up on my Medium profile a big thing of doctors. And when you start to look at doctors who've been arrested, what do you find overwhelmingly? Yes, you find a lot of pediatricians, but you find a lot of pediatric oncologists. And you find heads of pediatric oncology departments at famous children's hospitals, Harvard Children's Hospital, Hershey Children's Hospital. And again, in the beginning, I was really shocked. Like, are you kidding? Your child has cancer and you think this doctor's great. And meanwhile, he's masturbating to infants and toddlers being raped, right?
Okay, we're going to a quick break. We'll be right back.
The Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest is Dr. Lori Handrahan. Her book is Epidemic, America's Trade in Child Rape. It's available at Amazon. Her website is lorihandrahan.com, and I have links on the schedule page to many relevant things, to her Medium page where you can read about the cases. And Dr. Lori, you were talking right before the break about oncologists who deal with who specialize in children, and somebody in the chat room said that a lot of priests are also guilty of this kind of thing.
Yes.
But in your
yes.
book, you talk about the educators.
Mm-hmm. What I tried to do was, that was, again, another challenge in the book, the scope of it, because it's so huge, and there's so many men in positions of power in all walks of life who are raping children on a regular basis and producing videos and images and live streaming this, you know, which we call child pornography, which is really rape and torture, crime scene material. But although I had researched doctors and I have posted that, and I'd researched some other non-governmental positions, and with priests, at least with Catholic priests, this has been widely covered now in the mainstream media and after the Boston Globe and the film The Spotlight. So I didn't do religion, but the decision I made in the book, that this sectors, the professional sectors that I profiled, I decided to look at all government employees. So the only area where I have a few non-government employees was in the legal section, where I also included private practice lawyers. And I explained that I included them because they often cycle in and out of government positions. So the attorney will be a private practice attorney, then they'll be appointed, you know, to a prosecutor position as a DA, assistant DA, assistant prosecutor, and then they'll go back into private practice after they've been an assistant AG or federal prosecutor. So there's kind of a cycle there. But when you mentioned educators, so the largest profession where the most government employees are in this country are teachers. So from, you know, from primary all the way through to university level. So I thought that that was really important to profile that. And of course, those are people who put themselves in positions of power and who have access to children, right? And power over children's lives. The fact that they're being paid by our tax money to do this is to me just appalling. I mean, it's impossible to say one is worse than another, but if somebody's a government employee and they're a pedophile, they're better able to protect their crime, better able to protect themselves, and better able to access victims with impunity. And they're doing it on our tax money, often on their work computer when they're supposed to be working. So that's what I decided to focus on, all the sectors of government employees involved in this crime.
And you stated that in the book, I'm trying to find the page here, that there are at least 100 times more students who are targeted for this horrid criminal activity than there are that are targeted by priests.
I mean, and that's not my quote. That's from one of the best researchers on sex abuse in the schools. Yes. And she said, I forget her name now, I'll have to go find it too. She said that she thinks it's 100 times worse than what's going on in the church. And I, knowing what I know, I would agree simply because there's so many teachers. There's just, the volume is just huge, you know.
That's Dr. Shakeshaft.
Yes, and she's one of the top experts on sexual abuse by educators in the country. She's absolutely brilliant. And if you're interested in this issue, I would definitely encourage you to go to her website and to get involved. They have I think it's called SESAME, is the acronym, which is like sexual abuse of children by educators or something like that. It's
yes.
Their website.
Educator yeah. Sexual Misconduct, a Synthesis of Existing Literature.
Yeah.
And, this is, what is so amazing to me is that there's no major database. They're not keeping records of these arrests.
Right.
So that the average person has to, there's no access.
There's no way
unless,
to know. Yeah, no. That's the problem. That's what I've really wanted to do is build this database. I mean, that's my professional dream right now is to get employment again in an institution, to get a job as a professor again, to have a university step up and say, we will hire you to do this research. This is important research. And find donors who will help fund a small staff and graduate students, and we could put together a public database absolutely with no problem. It just requires staff, you know, paying people, and I think it's critical. So, for instance, like I'm updating my professor list right now of professors and staff because for some reason that list went totally viral. It's up on Medium, and I discussed that in the book. So I get, now it's over 473 shares of that one. And I think it's, I don't know, I'm speculating, but like not everybody knows a police officer personally. Not everybody knows a military staff personally. But everybody knows a teacher. I mean, we all had teachers, right? You know, going through kindergarten and college. And maybe it's the cost of college. Or I don't know if that's just something that we can all relate to, or the fact that you wouldn't expect teachers to be doing this, especially professors, you know, who are supposed to be our best and our brightest, educating our country's leaders. So the professors one has really, really bothered people. But on a regular basis, maybe not every week, but it feels like every week, every other week, I will get an email from somebody saying, I was abused by this professor, or this professor was actually my father who abused me and nobody ever knew that, or this professor was arrested and nobody it was never made public. That was Stetson University, and I did talk about that in the book too. But I just got another, and people will say to me, what should I do? I want to report this person now because I know he's still abusing children, and what should I do? So, well, it's frustrating for me not having a position where I can really help a lot more people. So I always respond, and I try to guide them to resources. And if I know a retired law enforcement or a private investigator in their area or a good lawyer in their area, I can refer them to. But recently a woman contacted me, and she told me about a provost at Lehigh University. And she said that there were some other people that she knew had also been involved with abuse, and they were still out free. And so she said she felt, she saw my article and the list, and she just couldn't, it was bothering her that she'd never reported these other people who she knew were involved in child abuse. So I promised her I'd update the list of professors. So yeah, this guy was Stephen James Devlin, and he was a provost at Lehigh University. And you know, each story is more horrific than the last one. You keep thinking you can't be shocked anymore, and then he is. So this is a good example. This was 2008 when he was sentenced to 3 to 6 years in prison, and that's already a long time ago. So if you wanted to send your child to Lehigh University, you wouldn't necessarily know that they had a senior official arrested on child pornography. Now, if there was a database, you could type in Lehigh University, and you could see how many people at that university had been arrested. You could ask the university, what have you done? What steps have you done to make sure that my child will be safe and that my tuition money that I'm paying to send, you know, for my child to be educated, that that child is not going to be educated by a man who's masturbating in his office to the brutal rape and torture of children before he walks into the classroom, which is what a lot of these people are doing, which I find to be appalling. So when I started to look at professors, you will see over and over and over again that many of these universities have had multiple arrests, and they just try to get it covered up as fast as possible and bury it so nobody knows about it, get the news stories removed or make sure news stories don't happen, rather than be proactive and prevent this from happening in the first place, right? I mean, this is an easy crime to prevent on many levels. It's just that there's been zero political will, and there's been zero political will because the data hasn't been gathered, so nobody's even really aware that this is a huge problem in this country.
Right. Now, there were a lot of things that happened under the jurisdiction of Eric Holder, mm-hmm. The former attorney general. And does this have something to do with the Department of Justice not taking the responsibility to create a database or to make these?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. DOJ, yeah. I mean, DOJ is at fault here. They should have a database, and it should be public. Absolutely. You know, I thanked in the beginning when I talked about acknowledgments, a lot of DOJ officials were incredibly helpful to me as I would call them up. It all just comes down to a good person in the job because our systems of accountability and oversight are basically completely broken. So sometimes I'd call and the person wouldn't want to help or be helpful, but very often I'd get a public affairs person at DOJ around the country at the various prosecuting offices, and they would be so incredibly helpful. And they'd say, I'm so glad somebody's finally researching this, and nobody's been looking at this, and nobody knows. Like, one that always stands out in my mind, this is under my national security chapter, this is David O'Brien, who was the head scientist in America, America's top scientist on nuclear detection. So he was supposed to monitor any kind of nuclear activity going on around the world for our protection. And he was doing child pornography on his Air Force computers. You know, if you don't think that that affects our national security, right? So, and again, it had been covered in the local press, not very widely, maybe one or two articles. And what will happen is they'll cover the arrest, and they rarely do any follow-up. Sometimes they'll cover the sentencing, but usually the sentencing is a year or 2 years later, and by that time the media has lost interest and moved on. So you don't know what happens with these cases. So in that case, when I talked to the public affairs person at DOJ in Florida, they were so happy that I had got the criminal complaint because they said, like, nobody got the criminal complaint. Like, we put a lot of work into this case. This guy was doing really bad things. We put him behind bars for 5 years. The media didn't cover it. Now, that's a case that the media really needed to cover. Everybody needed to know that the head of our nuclear, you know, deterrence agency had been doing child pornography on his computers, and he had accessed Russian websites. So talk about a breach of security. I mean, I have so many stories like that. The dean, who was an assistant dean at University of Virginia, Michael Morris, looks like the nicest guy in the world, right? Played tennis, had two teenage daughters. And again, that was widely covered, his arrest, but nobody got his criminal complaint. And the criminal complaint changed the story. And the DOJ people said to me, thank you. Thank you so much for reporting on the criminal complaint. Now, so there's many people that you can blame about why this hasn't been more widely covered. In that case, the journalists really needed to do that, and they do need to do that. So when you read Michael Morris's criminal complaint, it's also up on my Medium site, you find out he was, I think it was a six-year-old girl who was being forced to perform oral sex on a man while a knife was held to her throat. You know, he was masturbating to children in cages. He was pretending that he was a 12 and 13, 14-year-old boy and girl on Facebook. He set up Facebook pages and profiles to get other teenagers to masturbate for him, to produce child porn for him. That's much different than just saying he was arrested for child pornography, which is what all the local media said. They didn't explain what he was doing. And you need to know what this man was doing, because he was a very important person at a very prestigious university.
Oh, goodness. And I sent you an email during the week about a doctor, a local doctor. This is going, talking about something that you didn't cover specifically in the book. And all it talked about was that this doctor was arrested for child pornography, for having these things in his possession. But, and I thought it was horrid. I knew this doctor. I'd gone to this doctor. Mm-hmm. I found him very non-empathetic, non-compassionate. Mm-hmm. He was arrogant, so I went to somebody else in the same clinic. But they didn't explain exactly what it entailed. And then after reading your book, I looked up the arrest record again, and I had a whole different view of him. Oh, gosh. And, of course, we're all familiar with Hastert and Sandusky.
Right. No, it's great that you did that, because you said earlier, like, I have a lot of actions that people can take. Because what I didn't want to do is also, and I always did this as a professor, too, I mean, knowledge for the sake of knowledge, okay, it's good to know more. Knowledge for the sake of knowledge is fine. But without being able to take action to change it, I think it's only, it's half the battle. So I never wanted my students to learn without feeling empowered that they could actually do something about an issue that they cared about in their own world. And so it's the same with the book. Like, you read the book, it's really hard to read. It makes you very upset. And so what can you do? When this is such a huge problem, there's no action I can take. But there is. Just getting those criminal complaints from your courthouse, from your police station, and then contacting the journalist who reported on a case in your local area and saying, I want you to put the link to the criminal complaint on your story. I want everybody in town to know what this man was doing. That alone is huge, because if everybody started to do that on a regular basis, the media would report on this in a much broader and deeper way, and we'd know what was going on. The same thing, DOJ needs to have a database, of course, but I have a section there for people to contact Betsy DeVos with the education, because the education department, we should have a entire list of every single educator, public educator, who's been arrested on child sex abuse, child pornography-related charges. That's something easy that the Department of Education could do and should do. So if enough people contact Betsy DeVos and say, hey, we want the Department of Education to have a public database, that would be huge. That would be hugely important. There's an action item for the U.S. Sentencing Commission. So that's the only current research that we have on child pornography arrests in this country, and that's old now. It's 2012. They haven't updated it. And so their media relations person was fabulous, and she said, we'd love to hear from the public. If enough people contact us and ask us to do a new report on child pornography arrests, we'll do it. So that's an easy, and you can even contact these people on Twitter. So it doesn't take much. It takes a few seconds out of your day, literally, to say, hey, we need an updated report. Please give us an updated report. And when you do, the last U.S. Sentencing Commission report in 2012 doesn't give us any demographics other than race and sex, right? But I want to know, where were these people employed? Were they government jobs? I want to know how many federal former prosecutors have been arrested. I want to know how many federal law enforcement have been arrested, right? Don't you?
Right. And that is a wonderful thing. You do have, you were talking about Liz Dawson with the U.S. Sentencing Commission, and you have her email address and her phone number and everything. And if you have the Kindle version, all you have to do is do a search on action item, and you have the whole list. And you can go through that list and do something every day. You could do something every day on this list.
Absolutely, just like flossing your teeth. You know, just contact with the U.S. Sentencing Commission Public Affairs every day. Hey, any progress on your new child porn report? Contact Betsy DeVoe on Twitter every day. Hey, we want a list. Every single person who's an educator in America who's been arrested, we want a list, right? Because a lot of these guys, and this is very good reporting, actually, by USA Today, which I profiled. They did extensive reporting on how many teachers are getting rehired, even while they're on the sex offender registry.
Oh, I know. Is that awful? Oh, my gosh. Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Welcome back. Excuse me. Welcome back. This is Deanna, our guest today for the first hour, unless we can convince her to stay over and take some calls. Anyway, is Dr. Lori Handrahan. She is the author of Epidemic, America's Trade in Child Rape. Her website is lorihandrahan.com. Everyone must have a copy of her book. It's just, I think it's imperative. I really do. For the safety of our children and the future of our country, this needs to be revealed. People need to know about it. And this is just the best book you could have on this subject.
Thank you.
And I'm just so grateful that you wrote it.
Thank you.
And I know you paid a heavy price for it.
Well, learning about this subject was the price. I haven't paid a price for writing the book, but the book comes out of, this is a personal situation for me.
Yes.
So, yep, that is true.
You talk about John Grisham in mm-hmm. your book, and that he gave an interview with the Telegraph, and yes. he later retracted it, but once you say something, it pretty much is out
right.
there.
Right.
And so go ahead and tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that I'm glad you brought that up. That's really interesting, because for some reason, somebody recently pulled up those old articles when Grisham made that comment on Twitter, and it started circulating all over Twitter, and that was back in 2012, I believe. So I'm not sure why it got a lot of play in the last week, but it did. All these people found this article and started sending it out. So what he had, that's in my chapter on infants and toddlers. And what he had said was, that was the very first thing I posted on Medium because I couldn't get published anymore. So I lost my job as a professor, wrongly terminated, in part for my research, and then nobody would publish me. And before I was doing an op-ed almost every week and doing television interviews, I had a very credible platform. And then I didn't. So my friends kept saying to me, just put it up on Medium. Anyone can post anything. It's just a blog. So I was frustrated with that because I would prefer to be published as an academic. It's important to publish things because it's a mark of credibility about the work. But anyway, I had written this thing about John Grisham as an op-ed, and I had sent it around to newspapers and tried to get it published, and I couldn't. So I posted it on Medium. And I rewrote that for this chapter on infants and toddlers, because I talked about how the American media was covering it. So I said it was a bizarre few days in the American news cycle during the autumn of 2014. John Grisham, crime fiction writer, suddenly came out in defense of America's illegal child rape industry. In an interview with The Telegraph, Grisham claimed and later retracted that America's prisons are filled with guys my age, 60-year-old white men, who have never harmed anyone, would never touch a child. But they got online one night and started surfing around, probably had too much to drink or whatever, and pushed the wrong buttons, went too far and got into child porn or whatever. I mean, it's just such an appalling statement to make. And what's interesting about this, I ended up contacting the journalist who had done this interview. You need to go to a break now.
Yes, we're at the top of the hour. Would you like to stay over?
No, well, I'll let you. I can do a little bit of a wrap-up, Ike, but I can't be on for 2 hours because I have something else at it's 5:30 my time.
Okay, we'll be right back, and you can finish the story and do a little bit of a wrap-up. Be right back.
Okay, thank you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. Owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.